How many of you were just blessed this weekend? How many of you? I mean, I walked away feeling like there's some weighty words all the way from Sunday through Saturday through Sunday. And just been reflecting and soaking and basking with the intent of listening to them again. Because I feel like there is a significant moment in time here that the Lord is doing some things throughout our region, throughout our country, and in Grace House, that we just want to grasp all that God is. And I felt like in those moments and in that weekend, there were some calls to us to take some steps and to just respond with saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, I want to be the one that you send. Send me. So I want you, as you're turning with me tonight, we're going to hold our scripture in two places, so you can kind of mark one and go to one, ever how you want to do that. Put one finger in one finger in the other. Psalms 23 and John 10. These verses kind of have some parallel or some similarities. And as you open up there, I just want to share a little bit from my heart and what this message kind of was birthed out of. In the last year, I've been on a part of a journey that is kind of like I call walking through the refiner's fire. That's not a part of the journey I want to really walk on. It's not by choice. It's not by my own choosing. Or consequences of necessarily my own actions. But there's been a season where the enemy has come in like a flood. And the Lord has raised up a standard. There's been a season where when I thought one attack came and it couldn't get any worse, another one came. And another one came. And it's as if, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I'm speechless. You ever just been rocked? Your world's been rocked and you're just absolutely dumbfounded and you're like, I don't understand where these things are coming from and how this is, Lord, I don't understand. And in that time, you get stripped of everything. And you get back to saying, okay, Lord, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all you're asking of me. One moment at a time, Lord, because I can't focus on any more than that. The enemy loves to come and hit you. And hit you and hit you. But I want to read a passage to you tonight that I think gives us some hope. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved psalms in all the Bible. Many of us learn it as children. We can quote it from our hearts. Psalms 23 is one of those passages that's endearing. It's one that just comes alive in certain times when you're walking through the fire. When there's a death, it's often quoted. It's often used. But sometimes I wonder if we do not hold it a little trite and not really grasp the depths of what David was saying here. Even so much so that the Lord echoed it again in John 10. He echoed some of the things that David had put there. David, of course, in his poetic way, is saying some things that you have to dive a little deeper to get a little better understanding of. So in the Gospel of John, Jesus began to reveal himself as the ultimate good shepherd. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then Jesus himself identifies as the shepherd, the good shepherd. The relationship between sheep and a shepherd is based on trust. It's based on an intimacy and a level of depth that they know his voice and they follow him in and out of danger. You know, David knew something about being a shepherd, didn't he? Most important moment in his life, I would say, one of them, was when he was anointed by Samuel. And Samuel comes, we know the story, to his father, Jesse. And he looks at all of his brothers and said, this isn't him. Do you have another son? Oh, yeah, he's taking care of the sheep, though. We didn't even think he was important enough to go get. You know, we got all my sons here, Samuel. Just anoint one of them. David wasn't even in the house. He wasn't even in the yard. They had to send for him out protecting the sheep because he was a shepherd. And when David stood before Goliath, he stood before the armies of Israel and he said, you know what? When the lion came, I smote him. When the bear came, I killed him. When they came to get the sheep, I slew the beast. And just like this uncircumcised Philistine, they fell and so will he, because I know my God. And I know he will deliver me. But he learned that by being a shepherd. So when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, there's some depth, some understanding to what he's saying. You know, the same is true as those sheep have to trust the shepherd. We also have to trust the shepherd. We've got to know him. We've got to follow him. Jesus requires us intentionally to trust him. You know, throughout my life in times and even recently, the Lord has said, do you trust me? I do not like that question. I always know. He's saying, keep your mouth shut. Keep your hands off of it. Do you trust me? Yeah, Lord, but I sure like to fix it. I trust you, Lord, but if you would just let me, I trust you, Lord, but come on now. It's time to do something. Come on, Lord. I need to see the deliverance. I need to see something move, something happen. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Lord, you know I trust you. But Lord, this is too much. Do you trust him? David in Psalm 23, he gives us the shepherd's promise of total provision. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some of you may be asking, who is this shepherd? And how does David have so much confidence in him? Well, we kind of know it's Jesus. But I want you to look at a passage that I didn't really give you to look at, but you can listen to it with me, or you can turn here to Colossians 1:15 through 20, where Paul describes who Jesus is and gives you an idea of why Jesus can be your shepherd. Because listen, the shepherd was the owner of the sheep. He was the master of the sheep. He was the carer of the sheep. He was the one who provided everything they need. You know, a sheep is an interesting critter for the body of Christ and the people of God to be called. They're totally dependent upon the shepherd. They're totally dependent. They're not independent. They can't survive on their own. You know, you don't see many wild sheep. You see wild goats. You see wild rams. You see wild animals. But you don't see wild sheep. I don't know if there is such a thing. But the ones that I've been around, and I haven't been around a lot, I can see how they need taken care of. So who is the shepherd? And why should I trust him? Colossians 1:15 through 20 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, and all things were created through him and for him. So you know what? Scientists can discover gravity. They can discover all these things, but everything they discover is in him and through him and by him and for him. Thrones, principalities, dominions, kings and kingdoms. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Let that sink in for a moment. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything that he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. You know, the God of the universe that created galaxies and universes, they're still discovering things out in space that they see and they calculate and they're like, how can this be? It's beyond our comprehension. The further they go, the more they study, the smaller they go, the larger they go. There's more than they know, and there always will be. They'll never be omniscient. But this shepherd, he is. He's all powerful, all present, and all knowing. For him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. David understood when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When David made that declaration, I believe that heaven and earth and hell all heard it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whether in the good times, whether in the bad times, whether the times where you feel like you can't go on, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. No matter what circumstances look like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what I feel, no matter emotionally, spiritually, physically, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. When you begin to declare that the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want, something shifts in the heavenlies. Something shifts in you. Something shifts even in the underworld, the demonic. Something begins to shift because now you've made a declaration of truth. You've made a declaration that you are a sheep of God and you're under his care and he never fails. When David made that declaration, he understood. When he went before Goliath, he understood that the Lord was his shepherd and he was his sheep. And not even the giant that a whole army was scared of was going to keep him, his shepherd, from protecting him. You see, a sheep needs food, they need water, they need rest, they need safety. But they also need companionship from that shepherd. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. That's an abundant life that satisfies our deepest needs spiritually, emotionally, physically. Our souls, our spirit, our body, a direct parallel to the psalmist's declaration of, I shall not want. When Jesus is our shepherd, we lack nothing essential. Now listen, this is not American Christianity. This is the gospel. It's true whether there's a nation at war, whether there's people starving, whatever, it's true that Jesus is their shepherd and they shall not want. Because in him is the fullness of all that we desire and we were created to be. When we declare that, there's something that shifts. I believe even in our very DNA, even the very existence of who God has made us, we're aligning with the Word of God. We're aligning with the declaration of God when Jesus says He is our shepherd. And He says He'll provide all of our needs. See that declaration that Jesus is my shepherd and I shall not want is a declaration that leads to a victory. That leads to a freedom. Because what I'm declaring is in and of myself, I am not sufficient. In and of myself, I am unable to do what needs to be done. I am unable to even provide the sustenance that I need to live for myself. That's why when we take a meal, we say, God, thank you for this food. That's why in everything we do, we say, Lord, thank you. That's why gratitude and thankfulness, it's such a powerful, powerful thing in your life because you're recognizing the Lord as your shepherd. But to follow through with Jesus being our shepherd, we got to be radically following Jesus in all areas of life, both spiritually and physically. So, how many of you have a smartphone or you have a car that has a GPS in it? Well, GPS stands for Global Positioning System, right? So no matter where you're at on the globe, and I've been different parts of the world, pull out my phone and it shows me where I'm at, what altitude it is, all that, I'm like, that's cool. You know, the longitude, the latitude, and the coordinates are all there, but God knows at all times exactly where you are. He knows the altitude, the longitude, the latitude. He knows the piece of dirt you're standing on. He knows the grains of sand. There's nowhere you can go that He is not. But now, how many of you have faith in your GPS? You want to go somewhere. You may not know how to get there. You put it in the GPS, right? And every time, it takes you exactly where you want to go and just the most direct route, right? No. But still, you got faith in it. Still, you put the coordinates in there, you put the address in there, and you expect it to take you somewhere that you're planning on going. Well, this past Sunday, Dana and I had said we would pray for somebody, and we drove out to a place in the middle of nowhere we'd never been, and we didn't know how to get there. But they sent us the address. We put it in the GPS. We drove straight there and got to looking around. We were in the middle of an elementary school parking lot. Like, I don't think this is it. So I had told Dana before we got there to check the address. Well, she checked it. She said it matches. And I got to check it, and it was said, instead of highway, it said county road. So I thought, well, it's off just a little bit. Something about it. But when you put it in, something wouldn't coordinate right. You know, it was kind of like you got to choose this one, and this one's closest. So I got the thing out, and I put it back in again, and off we went. We're heading down this. Dan says, I think that might be the house. I said, well, that's not what it says. So I just followed this thing all the way out, turned left, turned left, turned left, turned left, and I'm back where we were. I mean, 3 miles out of the way. So we drove on back down the road, and the people at the house that Dana thought might be the right house was the right house. They were standing in the yard. So sometimes your wife is smarter than the GPS. That's one I should have listened. She had the word of the Lord and I did not, because I was flustered. I was like, this thing, it should know where to go. It did not. In your life, in my life, there's many times you don't know where you're going. You don't know how to get through the circumstances and the situation that all of hell has come against you. You're standing in the middle of the battle and you're shell-shocked. You're stunned. You're on your knees and you're out for the count and the enemy's rejoicing. But you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I got a spiritual GPS. I got a Jesus, and he's a godly positioning system. Godly positioning system. He will position me where he wants me in this conflict. In this season of life, I've had to learn to keep my mouth shut and go to my knees and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to fight this. My heart has been ripped out, stomped on, kicked, spit on. I feel betrayed. I feel wronged. But God, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. And there were moments, and still, where I wanted to act out of the flesh so bad. I wanted to say something. I wanted to do something. I wanted to fix something. I wanted to make something happen. But in the midst of it all I could say is, Lord, I trust you. And I heard him say, do you trust me? I said, Lord, I trust you. Sometimes the hardest thing you can do is keep your mouth shut in the presence of your accusers. And the Lord says, this is my battle. And it will not be won in a day. It will not be won in a year. But if you follow me, I will restore you. I will restore those who come against you. I will heal wounds. You see, we've got to trust in that global positioning system, but not near as much as we do in the godly positioning system. Jesus, as David goes on in verse 2 and 3, he said, the shepherd's voice, which is an intimate guidance system, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, once I declare the Lord is my shepherd and I am his sheep and he is mine and I am his, now I'm his responsibility. So for his name's sake, because his name is stamped on me, because the seal of the Holy Spirit is stamped on me, the Lord has to move on my behalf if I will let him. If I will let him. But I can tell you, in the midst of it sometimes, you come away and you go, okay, Lord, I was wrong here. I was wrong here. I see some things that I was wrong. Father, I repent. I'm tired of handling things my way. I'm ready to handle them yours. Even when I thought I was right, even when I may not be wrong or thought I was wrong, Lord, I just know that I don't know the way forward. So lead me, Lord, beside the still waters. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know the path of righteousness if you're not following the Holy Spirit. If you're not listening to the still voice of the Holy Spirit, I promise you, I've done it enough, I'm going to step right on off. I'm going to walk right on out here, go whoop, up. Maybe that wasn't the Lord. Now listen, I understand. We've got decisions and things to make every day. Where we make decisions, we're not going to hear every moment, every second of every day. But when in the middle of the battle, when the enemy's coming against you, when that standard raises up, or when that enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord says, I'm going to raise you up as a standard. Trust me. But not just in those moments, but in the moments that you're walking on the face of this earth, how imperative is it in this day and age that you hear the voice of the Lord, that you walk beside those still waters, you get rest when he says to rest. I recently was doing some things and I thought, Lord, I don't have time. I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to rest. God, I got too much to do. And I heard the Lord say, you need to rest. So I took a moment and I got in a quiet place and I began to worship. And in that moment, I'll just be honest with you, I fell asleep. But in those 15 minutes, I woke up refreshed. And then I began to worship again. I said, God, you led me to a place of rest. I don't know which way to go without him. And you're going to come in contact with lives that need you to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to know which one Lord's going to share something with that's going to make a difference. You're not always going to know that the Lord used you to share something. We talk about a word of knowledge. We talk about a word of wisdom. But I'm going to tell you something. As a vessel of the living God, carrying the very nature, existence of God in the DNA of who you are, because the Holy Spirit is the very essence of God, right? The fruit of the Spirit. I call the DNA of God. When God passed before Moses and declared who he was, he declared his goodness, his mercy, his kindness. So you read the fruit of the Spirit. And those, when you're walking in the Holy Spirit and he produces those things in your life, it's a witness and a testimony, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you're outside, whether wherever you are, you are passing on something of the nature of God into lives that you don't even know. And then there's those moments that you hear that still small voice. Be obedient. No matter the cost, be obedient. I've been in situations where I'm like, okay, God, that's not you, because I don't want to do it. God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I've shared some of those stories with you. I've been in situations where I'm trying to help someone and I've given them all the wisdom I've got. I've just quoted every scripture I know, pretty much. From Genesis to Revelation. Something's got to stick. And you just keep picking it up and throwing it back and it's like just falling right off. And I said, Lord, I'm done. And he says, I've been waiting. I love the Lord's sense of humor. I thought, oh, you got something to say, do you? Well, what do you want to say? And in that moment, things shift. In those moments where the Holy Spirit is moving, he's not speaking something that's void. He's speaking the Word of God. I've had him reach across the table and take his hand and tell him you're here because you love him. I've had him in those moments tell me something and say, just write this down. And later he'll show me that that was truth. But he wasn't willing to receive it. So I want you to pray over it. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit brings about the fruit, the harvest of the Lord. And an intimacy with him is required in these last days to see the harvest that he's won. He says, Pray for laborers, because the harvest is white unto us. You and I are the laborers. You know something? Sheep produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep, right? Our witness is powerful. Our testimonies are powerful. But laced with the Holy Spirit and the timing of the Lord, the words that you speak carry weight. Enough to shift the atmosphere. Enough to shift a hardened heart. Enough to move in a way that brings about reconciliation. Our shepherd promises to lead us in the paths of righteousness, to keep us from wandering. To hear his voice is how we discern his will for our lives. Through the word of God, we begin to recognize who God is and know his ways. And the Holy Spirit comes right along with that. And he reiterates that word. And he brings it to remembrance. And in John 10, 3 through 4, Jesus says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I'm telling you, saints, one of the things I walked away from this weekend was how important it is to know his voice, to be listening to his voice. You're going to go about your work tomorrow. You're going to be doing your thing. But what I encourage you to do is say, Lord, if you've got a word, if you want to speak to me, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Posture yourself to say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. God speaking in one moment can change anything in your life. The more we listen, the more we obey, the more we begin to hear, the more he begins to speak. He's speaking. He's speaking. Are we listening? We got to get our ears tuned to that still small voice. We intentionally seek his face through his word and through praise and worship. And we say, Holy Spirit, come, lead me today. The Message Bible paraphrases Proverbs 3:6 to say this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do. Listen for it everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Don't assume you know how to take the next step. Acknowledge God in all your ways. That's what this passage says. And he shall direct you. And then it says, run to God and run from evil. Run to God and run from evil. The shepherd's presence in your life. You've heard the passage that says, the righteous are bold as a lion. Man, when I know my daddy's in my corner, I'm pretty brave. When I know that the Lord is in my corner and I'm receiving from him and we're in tune with one another, I'm pretty brave. I know that God's got this. I know that he's fighting my battles. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the shepherd's tools, the rod and the staff, the rod is for protection. The rod is to smote the enemy. The staff is for correction. Hey, come back here. There's a cliff over there. Hey, listen, you don't want to go that way. Follow me. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that voice say, hey, stop. Don't go that way. I got a friend that was driving down the road one day and the Lord said, pull over. He's like, okay, pull over. He pulled over. Car come in his lane, heading the other way, would have killed him. I'm going to tell you something. It may not be a car heading your way, but when the Lord says do something, you better do it because something's about to hit you. When you don't obey and you don't listen, you step out in areas of danger that you don't even know about. Now, listen, we're all going to miss it. I'm not trying to put a fear on you of missing it. I've missed it. Sometimes I've missed it deliberately because I didn't want to do it. And later I go, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. But the times that I've obeyed, I've learned in my life far outweigh. The times that I've disobeyed, I feel remorse, regret. But the times that I've obeyed and I've seen things change, I've seen lives change. It's only by His grace and mercy in His Word. It's only by listening to Him and knowing that when I am in the valley of shadow of death and all I see and all I smell is the stench of death all the way around me, when the enemy's attacking and when he brings his best shots and I'm down on my knees and I'm out for the count, the Lord steps in and said, this one's mine. This one's mine. When you read the book of Job, he was attacked from every angle and every side, but yet he said, though he slay me, I still will trust him. I said, Lord, help me to have that kind of faith. Help me, Lord, because in the midst of this, I don't know what else to do. And if I turn left or I turn right and I miss something because I'm not listening or I'm not in tune, God, I'm going to make this thing so much worse than it already is. I know that you're my shepherd. The New Testament in John 10, 28 through 9, Jesus promises, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Man, I don't know about you, but that gives me some joy. The Father says, they're mine, and nobody's going to take them from me. The Father says, I give them to you, Jesus. They're part of your bride. Nobody's going to snatch them out of your hand. Because I am the authority of authorities, the Lord of lords and the King of kings over every situation and over everything. No matter what life brings at you, no matter what the enemy brings at you, in the midst of it all, God is still God and He's still on the throne. He's not scratching His head how He's wondering how He's going to get you through this mess. He knows how He's going to get you through this mess. And He knows on the other side, whatever the enemy meant for evil is going to turn into good. He's going to make it for good. I didn't say the situation and the circumstances and the thing that's been said about you, the lies that's been told in the midst of the battle, the thing that's been attacking you, the thing that's wrong is good. But it's going to come to my good because I know my God and I know that He always keeps His word. The enemy lies. You see, there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices speaking from different directions. I mean, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the torment, in the midst of the moment when you're at your weakest, there's all kinds of things going through your mind. I should just do this, or I should do this, or you know what? I'm so angry. I want to do this. But in the midst of it all, there's a still small voice that's just so quiet and so still. But it's louder than all of them if you really listen. It's more clear. It's more concise. And it is the voice of life. It is the shepherd's voice. So no matter how the bear growls, no matter how the wolf howls, no matter when you hear those echoes of the wolf howling and the lion coming and snarling in your face, you say, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. And if He is with me and He is for me, who or what can be against me? Get thee behind me, Satan. Today is a day of salvation from the Lord, for He is my shepherd and I shall not want. You see, when David declared this, he wasn't shouting some nice poetry or writing something. He was writing something from the heart. He was writing something from the very depths of where he lived. He understood that the Lord being his shepherd gave him a boldness to face Goliath, a boldness to face the lion and the wolf and the bear. It gave him a boldness to say, I know my God. And so what did Daniel say about those who know their God? They will do mighty exploits. See, my friend, it's for you and I to listen to the voice, to begin to know him through his word. It's so imperative today. We take this as simple, and I understand it's simple, but it's imperative that you have a time where you come before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm here to know you. I'm here as a son. I'm here as a daughter. What do you got for me today, Lord? Because when you get in the battle, you're going to need that foundation. You're going to need that, you know that your feet are planted on the rock. But the other voices, they'll flee. Those who are friends like Job, they'll flee when the times get tough, when they don't have the answers. And I promise you, there's going to be some. When you're in the midst of it, somebody's going to have a solution. Be careful, be weary. And some of them's going to seem cold-hearted and really uncaring toward your plight and your situation. Be careful, just like Job. And forgive them. For they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know the depths of your heart and how the piercing of the arrows have taken toll. The enemy would love to trap you with offense. He would love for you to take offense when somebody gives you counsel and you go, that is just so far from where I feel like I'm at. But lastly, in John 10:27, Jesus says, the sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, the path to knowing, the shepherd's call to listen, is knowing and following. To find that still, quiet place and let the Lord lead you into it. You know, there's sometimes the Lord just says, I want you to get along with me. I want you just to, in this moment you're driving, I want you just to get alone with me. And I just feel a presence in the vehicle. And I have said before, I said, Lord, what do you want? What are you here for? What do you have? And in this time, I've heard the Lord say, I'm here for you. I'm just here because I love you. I'm just here because I love spending time with you. The journey begins with being intent on listening. It requires the humility of saying, Lord, every moment of every day, I need you. I need you. The primary way that Jesus speaks is through his word. As we read scripture, as we become familiar with the tone, with the character, with the nature of God, as we begin to identify what the Spirit of the living God is, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. He doesn't act out of his nature. He doesn't act outside of his nature. So hate, even though I want to hate, I know that's not him. That's me. That's my flesh. So it drives me to a place of prayer, to pray through and say, God, I don't know how to deal with this. Lord, you know in my heart. that I want something that's not right. But God, I'm going to leave it in your hands. I can't touch it. Knowing his voice always leads to following him. It leads to eternal life. It leads to an unshakable security. And it leads to lives around you being changed. You don't need a pulpit. You are the Word. You are the living epistle. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit. Inside of you is the one who dwells with the Most High that reminds you of Jesus and who he is and what he says. Inside of you is the one that brings life. The rivers of life flow through you. There's people all around you that need that river. There's people all around you today, people you're praying for. And you need to say to some of them, forgive me for what you said was, it hurt me, but there's some truth in it. There's some truth in it. And then sometimes you can say, that's not true. That's just simply not true. Because I've searched my heart. And I've went before the Lord and I've laid it bare. And I said, God, what's true, what's not? What am I responsible for? And what am I not? You see, I need to hear the voice of the Lord often because I need the life that it gives. Psalms 23 is a profound picture of Jesus, our shepherd, who guides, provides, protects his sheep. But it's even more than that. It is the cry of a shepherd's heart with the realization and the understanding that he is a mere sheep. And he needs the shepherd's constant watching over him, constantly intervening for his life, constantly providing food. The Lord's got a table before you every day that he wants to feed you out of his word. And when that spirit illuminates that thing and it comes alive, brother, the best ribeye steak in the world is not as good. The most important skill for you is to distinguish the voice of God and radically follow it. You see, the relationship is not passive. It's a two-way street of his calling and our listening. It's a two-way street of you saying, Lord, I humble myself today. I'm ready to receive. Now, there are some days you read and you feel like, okay, Lord, I don't know that I really got that much out of that. But there's going to be days when you keep posturing yourself over and over and over. He said he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He said, seek him and you shall find. He says, knock and he will answer. God's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should repent. So do we believe him? Do we really believe? Then let us be spiritual beings and walk in the Spirit. Let us get in the Word. Let us be intentional. Let us spend time in His Word, in prayer and stillness. The better we become at recognizing and following the voice of God, the more people's lives, including ours, will be changed. We're in a radical time where God is moving, and God's just not moving through the prophet and apostle, but He's moving through His people, and He's moving on His people, and He's moving in your life. And you and I say, Lord, more. I just want more. Lord, I just close with a prayer right now, and I ask you to help each person recognize and respond to the voice of the Good Shepherd in their lives. I say, Lord, we want more of you. We want to hear your voice more. We want to just absolutely be in your midst and be in your presence. We want to be a people, Lord, that not just come to Grace House where your presence drivenness is just what we desire, where we are driven by your presence in our service and in our lives, But God, we want to be a people that every moment of every day, we're just susceptible to hear your voice because we say, Lord, I want you to speak. I want you to come. This evening, if you've got something, Lord, I want you to stand with me. If there's something on your heart, if there's some people on the prayer team to come tonight, if nobody comes, then somebody just step out and begin to come as a prayer team. I want you to come, and I want you just to say whatever's on your heart, whatever God stirred, whatever God has reiterated to you tonight. Maybe you're hurting. I want to tell you something. God cares about the hurting, and God heals the sick. He heals the hurting. Tonight, I just want you to come as Andrew plays, and we're just going to close in a moment after giving time for you guys to come on up.